Hello, everyone. This is Tim Dodd. Welcome to the Believer's Faith Challenge podcast.
Thankful to give witness to tens of thousands, yes, and to the millions that believe it. And believes it now, I believe that God's going to let me live to pack it until all around the world it's been circulated.
Greetings, brothers and sisters. Welcome to another episode of the Believer's Faith Challenge podcast. Following last week's podcast with Brother Fred Chiyinji, we bring you more news from the country of Uganda, this time with Brother Stephen Ibali. Brother Tim.
Thank you, Brother John, and greetings to our listeners. It's good to be back this week, and we have an update for you from the country of Uganda. Now, before I bring in Brother Stephen Ibali, I just want to say that we've done this podcast using an older method that we use, not a live interview, because of the technological challenges in Uganda, particularly the time zone difference and the unreliability of the internet. And so we trust that it'll be a blessing to you. I think that it will still get the message out about missions and what's going on in Uganda, and we're very excited what God is doing there. Greetings, Brother Stephen, and welcome back to the podcast. It's good to have you back with us today.
Yeah, God bless you, Brother Tim, and everybody listening in to the podcast today. And it's nice really to be back and just share some of the things that God is doing here.
It has certainly been a while since we've had you on the podcast, just yourself. I know you sent greetings at the new year, and also we've had different updates about Uganda, but I'm glad to have you back on the podcast because there's always lots of things that are happening in Uganda, and maybe we'll focus on one or two here this morning. But as we speak, why don't you just give us a little bit of an overview? I know there's been quite a number of baptisms and hundreds of baptisms and that are happening every month around Uganda. And I know the brothers are busy. Why don't you just give the people an overview of what goes on regularly there during the month?
Yeah, thank you, Brother Tim. I just want to tell you that we've got now what we've got a routine. We've got weekly outreaches in about 15 different districts. And we are not talking about the work that Brother Fred is involved in. Of course, that's on a higher level than ours. But we've got 7 different teams that work tirelessly through the week to help the people grow in their new found faith. You find that we cannot be able to do everything just as we desired it. We've got different limitations, but the harvest is big. You know, and these ministers work closely with the pastors and their churches, mainly to really be able to bring them at a level higher, and secondly, to be able to answer the questions, especially that the lady may be having. It's not basically just a matter of preaching and then walk away. We actually entertain questions from the congregation, and generally the multiplier effect is becoming so big because we started out ourselves. Currently, it's not we that are getting the doors open, but you know, one minister believes he has got a friend. He goes out there and then shares the revelation of the word. And so finally, when this man believes, sometimes he has got more that he may want to learn, and this is where now our teams come in. So we constantly have baptisms, brother, you know, team. And there is a lot of books that are being distributed back and forth. On this same note, I want to tell you that this Friday, Brother James Katumba is going up, crossing about three districts to another place where an Anglican community has opened up. They want to listen, they want to hear exactly what is causing a lot of concern among the people. But generally, we thank God that the Lord is being gracious. And we trust that more and more is going to be done this year, because we find that the rate of the call, the Macedonian call, is becoming greater and greater.
We had you with us in September of last year, and that's when we did a podcast with you here in the studio. And then we were there in Uganda, myself and my son Stephen and grandson Judah and brother Victor Adamora were with you there. And we had wonderful meetings there in Uganda. One of the memorable meetings was in, I think it was called Namatumba. I think the church was called Kibali Church. And we had a wonderful time there. One was that it was a new work. I think they had just been, the pastor had just been in the message for 6 months, and so the people even less so, as well as the in the meeting that day, there were a few Anglican ministers, complete with the what we call the turned around collar or the clerical collar, and it was interesting to see them there. And I remember the service that day was a little bit different. And maybe I went in with a little bit too high of expectations, but I had to, when I started, I realized quickly that the people were not at the level that you might start a message service, and so I quickly geared down to just a place where I could find that I could connect with the people and began building up the word from there. And the Lord gave us a wonderful time, gave us a wonderful service. And I believe it was a blessing. Now, the work there, I think, was started or largely ministered to by Brother Jeremiah, Brother Simpa, and in that area. Perhaps now I'd just stop here and say, maybe you can just fill in the blanks and give us a background of this work in that area.
Yeah, the meeting in Kibale is really memorable. And I saw how the Lord moved us in a special way and just geared you into a direction. And I remember, you know, at the end of the service, there was such a great excitement from among the people, because you got them from the ground and kept lifting them into the sphere where they are supposed to be, as believers of the message. And of recent, the young man who is leading the work there has had a few troubles, including, multiplying the rent of the ground where his church stands. Of course, they are trying to get him away from among them. And in that area, the Pentecostal Lords are doing a concerted effort to block their people from listening to us. They are organizing different meetings in different areas, but this is causing lots of curiosity from the people, because the more they say we should not be listened to, is the more the people want to know what we are actually saying. So this has given us again a wider coverage in that area and more invitations. So one negative thing producing lots of positive, that's what is happening in Namutumba now. And Namutumba is the most exciting mission ground right now, because it has got so many Pentecostal groups. And the more they fight, is the more it's giving us an opportunity to reach out to the people, because the people want to hear for themselves. And so we've had a lot more baptisms since you left.
In January, you sent me a picture of a baptism that took place. A wonderful report. And it was Reverend Kamya of the Anglican Church, a theologian, I believe an Anglican, and Brother Jeremiah baptized him there in the river. And that's a wonderful report. And why don't you just share with us, Brother Stephen, the testimony of Brother Kamya?
Yeah, Brother Tim. I remember the time when in Kibale we had four reverends, and this included the Reverend Kamya. But of the four, Reverend Kamya and another have been baptized. You see, they are men who are founded on the Anglican theology, and many times they have got the nature of Nicodemus. They find honestly the truth. Two of them don't resist coming to our meetings, you know, all of them, the four, but the rest of the two have not been baptized yet. But interesting is that they come to our meetings and their people are constantly being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they recommend them to come to our meetings. And so we know that God has something that is doing. We just give him his own timing to constantly deal with the hearts of these men.
It's been a few weeks now since he's been baptized, and we're thankful for that. I wonder if there has been, or if he encounters difficulties now that he has embraced the message of the hour and God has opened his eyes to true water baptism. And it's an amazing work by these young brothers up in that region. Is he undergoing persecution? Is he, has he had to leave the Anglican Church? What is his status now?
Yeah, Brother Tim, the status of this reverend, you need to go back on how they got connected to us. Brother Jeremiah, at times, takes radio services. So one gentleman had Brother Jeremiah speak on radio quite a few times, and he got so impressed. He is a nephew of the main reverend in this group. So he wanted to know from him whether he has heard this kind of preaching before. So then Brother Jeremiah was invited, and this Reverend Kawanguzi invited all these other reverends to be in the meetings. And of recent, of course, there are some ripples that are beginning to come up from their superiors, but he is yet to say more because he's pulling to have a meeting with me, and that will be when I can be able to tell you more of what is happening on the ground. But of course, the Anglican Church seems to be involved, and so we need to pray for them.
This is just a phenomenal testimony of God's grace reaching down into one of, I'll say, that one of the darkest denominations. The Anglican Church is not much different from the Catholic Church. Their separation was simply on the subject of divorce, King Henry VIII and all of that. But to see someone that is trained in that reasoning of man's theology, and for God to open his eyes to embrace the message of the hour, just expresses the powerfulness of the truth that lays within this message. And I think as a people, we ought to be ever so grateful, honored and not ever take it for granted, the truth that God has opened our eyes to in these last days.
Yeah, Brother Tim, that's very, very, very important observation there. You know, these men, to really feel like they are hungering and thirsting for something. Just the other day, Brother Eric, the young man whom I think you should remember really, had an invitation to go and preach to an Anglican community. But they also asked him to write a letter so that they take it to the archdeacon, which means, you know, a person who is taking observation of this religious see in that area. And so when they took the letter to him, he said, "Oh, you've not given me time enough. It's just so abrupt. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to postpone, look into what these people teach, then I'll invite you." So today now, what is happening is that there is a disagreement between the lay reader who leads the local group, the church, and the archdeacon. He says, "If he can't let you come, you will preach in my yard." So tomorrow, Brother James will be going there, and he is going to preach to, I believe, quite a big group of people there. He's determined that he must hear the truth and also bring in the people that go to his church. Quite a number of them are going to be part of that meeting.
Seeing that it is that way and that there are new events, new doors opening all the time, new events unfolding, even regularly in the country, Brother Stephen, I think that you would agree with me that getting the message available to the listener, to the reader, is of utmost importance. So far in the Luganda language, we have printed tens of thousands of church-age books and hundreds of thousands of individual titles. We have over 300 translations in the Luganda language, and we are printing about 7,000 books per month of individual titles. As well as right now, while we are almost out of church-age books, we have at the printer another 10,000 Luganda church-age books. Why don't you just kind of elaborate on that for the listener of how important it is to have the message available for the people, especially the new believers that are coming into the message of the hour?
Yeah, Brother Tim. That's a very great observation about the books and the audios that we do. We started this about 15 years ago, doing radio services. You know, we would really go on the radio and preach. And then the Pentecostal world, they've got their own radios. They countered us by bringing, you know, series from God's generals and proved to the people that Brother Branham, slid from God's perfect will, and so God took him home as a backslider. So when we could preach on the radio, they would say, "Oh, on radio they say different. When you go to church, they say different." So then what we did, we started getting the messages that we preach in church and put them out on radio. Then they say, "Oh, yeah, what they are doing is very good. And, you know, but, you know, Brother Branham himself didn't say those things, you know. So again, what really did the miracle is when you and Brother Kim came down here and we started on the radio broadcast with the messages of the hour. That one was a very powerful tool because we selected messages where Brother Branham was carrying very great inspiration, you know, to counter, because that's what they wanted to see, that he was an inspired man. So we would carry messages like, whom do you think this is? And he would be out there and, whom do you think this is? You know, and so it was a very powerful anointing. And you remember, still in the course of time, because most of our people have come through ministers believing. And so, you know, for them to believe, they believed. But to put out the entire truth of the message was still not easy for them. And you remember we said, let us take the books to the people themselves. Now you started printing the books and we started distributing them in churches. It made a difference. So the impact is great. The people have something that they listen to. When we air out on radio and the radio really goes different ways, and they have something that they can be able to read. So they discuss message when you find them. It's a very great impact.
It certainly has been a pleasure to have you on again, Brother Stephen.
Yeah, shalom, Brother Tim. It has been nice coming back to the podcast. It has been quite a while. But I only want to say that we appreciate you. We appreciate your labors and all the visits that you make and come to the field and see what we are doing is always appreciated. God bless you so much. Greet the saints and the people that hold our hands. May the Lord bless them back.
We so appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule, how the Lord's using you there in Uganda. And amongst all the other brothers there, we certainly want to send our greetings and appreciation for all that they do for the kingdom of God. We trust that the Lord will continue to bless the work that you brothers are doing there in Uganda. And we pray that even more souls will come in. Truly, the fields are ripe, the harvest fields are ripe, and there's never enough laborers. And so we pray that the Lord will be with you, bless you, strengthen your hands there. Shalom.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast today. Remember, friends, the bridegroom will not come until the bride has made herself ready. She must be both called and fully dressed by the Word of God.
This was another episode of the Believer's Faith Challenge Report podcast. Thank you for joining us today. If you want to hear more about what the Lord is doing around the world, please go to www.bibleway.org. That's www.bibleway.org, and subscribe to the newsletter to receive updates about what the Lord is doing. Additionally, if you desire to contact us, please email us at info@bible-believers.org. Once more, that's info@bible-believers.org. Or you can also write to us, and our mailing address is Bible Believers, P.O. Box 128, Blaine, Washington, 98231. Until next time, shalom.